Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Life Change Church. We are excited that you are here this morning. If you are a first-time guest, please make sure you get the Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out and put that in the offering later in the service. And also be sure to stop by the Connect desk on your way out and pick up your free gift. For those of you who don't know, my name is Daryl Beckett. I am the Director of Discipleship here. And what that means is I have the responsibility of making sure that you have the tools in place to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But who is not here today? Our lead pastor, Corbin Huffman, our student life director, Caleb Nilo. If you don't know, he's the one that was actually drinking out of the dog bowl, because that's what student life directors do. And then another guy that pretty much does whatever you ask him to do. He serves in the parking lot. He serves on security team. He's an usher. Really, pretty much whatever you ask him to do, and that's Travis Linder. They're not here today because they're going the distance. They are running the nationwide Children's Hospital Columbus Marathon as we speak. And so, yeah. This is actual live tracking right now, and so we're not going to have that up the whole service, but if you want to know where they are, you can Google that, and Corbin's bib number is 1576. They're all running together, so you can track that throughout service if you'd like. And the way of announcements this morning, remember, if you are a teen between grades 6 through 12, there is student life here at the church tonight at 5 p.m. I don't really know how Caleb's going to pull that off, but I'm pretty impressed that he's still having student life. Trick-or-treat outreach is coming soon. And so if you are in the neighborhood of Potter's Grove, Jefferson Woods over on King Ave, Northwest Moore, or Long Pond Apartments, I think that's Log Pond, we're doing trick-or-treat outreach in those communities. And so if you are interested in serving on one of those teams, you can email Pastor Corbin at the email included in your bulletin. And then finally, at the end of the month, here at the church, we're having our Fall Connect Hangout. That is on Sunday, October 29th at 5 p.m. Continue to watch your bulletin for more details. And so as you can see by the slide this morning, we are talking about going the distance. And the guys that are just mentioned, if you don't know, a marathon is 26.2 miles. That is a long way to run. When I was a kid, the church I went to was about 13 miles away, and I rode my bike there one time, and I thought it was a long way to ride a bike. That's double the distance, and the guys are running that this morning. And in order to run that kind of a distance, it requires a lot of training, a lot of work, a lot of discipline. And what you're going to find out this morning as we go through this message is that it really doesn't matter what distance you're going in life, whether it's something like a marathon, or whether it's just the race of life itself. You're going to find out that in order to go the distance, it requires a lot of hard work. It requires discipline. It requires training. It requires effort. And all of those things are determined every day. Going the distance is accomplished through daily decisions. If there's nothing else that you remember this morning, I want it to be that. If there's only one thing you remember, make it this. Going the distance is achieved through daily decisions. Our text this morning is going to be Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 16. But because it's a really large passage of Scripture, instead of reading it all now, we're going to read it as we go through the sermon this morning. But if you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible or didn't bring it with you, I challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a fantastic resource to take the Bible with you wherever you go. Use it on your phone or your tablet. There's great reading plans available, devotional plans. And we just came off our series not that long ago, Better Together. So as a church, we're doing a reading plan every week. You can go to our Facebook page to find that. I would encourage you to do so tomorrow. There will be a new plan there. And so Philippians chapter 3, in this passage of Scripture, you're going to see that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And if you study Pauline literature at all, you're going to understand that he has a pretty standard format in the way that he writes. It's unique to him. And what happens is he'll write to a church and he'll greet them with kind of an over-the-top greeting. And in his greeting, he'll always give them something that he's thankful for, something that's going on in that church that he's writing to that he's thankful for. And then he usually gives them some kind of a caution or some kind of an admonition. That's kind of the body of the letter. Then he'll give them a final instruction, and then he'll wind down with a benediction at the end of the message, at the end of the letter, that kind of summarizes everything that he told them. And so in the book of Philippians, we're going to look at what his admonition is. And that's really just a fancy word that is a caution. You know, he's warning them about something. It's an encouragement. It's a, hey, pay attention to this area and address it. And so the first thing that he's talking about is false teachers. And you're going to see that in the text when we get into it. And he cautions them, beware of evildoers. And then he says, be confident of who you are in Christ, not yesterday, not who you were in Christ, but who you are in Christ today and who you're going to be in Christ tomorrow. And then he gives them practical steps of how to go the distance. And so that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. The guys, as we mentioned, are running as we speak. Are there any other runners out there by a show of hands? Any other runners here today by a show of hands? All right, there's one. What is the furthest distance that you have run? 26.2, another marathoner, right? 26.2, that is a long way to run. Oh, well, all right, so we're live now.
What up, yo? What's up? Can you see us? Yeah. Hey, guys, we are at, like, what mile are we even at?
We are at mile 10.
Mile 10 right now.
Woohoo!
Still a lot more. There was an inappropriate sign that was just shown. We wouldn't show that at church, but there's still a lot more miles left to go. But hey, so far, man, it's been a pretty decent experience, some things, and I know I feel better because I got you guys praying for us, and then I'm running with my guys here. Let's hear from them and how they feel right now.
I'm feeling good, everybody. Thanks for the support. We got a long way to go, but it feels good. Hopefully the rain holds off for us. Just pray for us, please. Thank you.
That would be the youth director. There's the student life director. No shirt. All right. Well, that is awesome. We're live checking from the race. They're 10 miles in. You know exactly how they feel, where they are right now. And so what about cyclists? Pastor Corbin also rides. Do we have any cyclists in the room? Right, Pelotonia just happened. That's a multi-distant race. Some ride as far as 100 miles. He got me riding with him a little bit this summer. I've never been on a road bike before. And I'm telling you, man, the first 3 miles, I thought I was going to fall off the bike because the tires are about that wide. And so he's like, hey, let's ride today. This was third or fourth ride. I get out to his house. He's like, you know what? Let's just start riding. We start getting into our ride. He's like, I want to go to Knuckleheads. Well, Pastor Corbin, if you don't know, lives in Licking Valley. Knuckleheads is in Granville, right? And so we get out to Knuckleheads. We ate like Knuckleheads. You know, we're in this bike ride, and we're eating greasy, greasy food, right? So we get done eating. He's like, let's ride to Heath. Sure enough, we go out to the Heath Industrial Complex, and then we got to ride through the south side of Newark back to Licking Valley. By the time it was all said and done, we had gone 31 miles. I thought we were doing like 10, right? So that was a long way to ride for me because I was not in that kind of shape. I had not trained for that kind of ride. What about travel? Right, who prefers to drive versus fly? You guys are, come on, man. I know it's 9 o'clock, but come on. These guys are running 10 miles in and they got more. So who drives versus fly when you go on vacation? Right? One shot, what is the furthest you've driven for the drivers? One shot. 40. Oh, so 36 hours straight, right? But you didn't do all the driving yourself. Yeah, right? So what? One shot, you drove the whole way. 10, 15, 20, 10. All right, so last summer, my wife and I went to vacation in Florida. Most of our family flew. Kelly, Braylon, Zach, and I drove. The truth is I drove. right? 19 and a half hours, one shot. I was shot. Like 3 hours to go, I'm dying. And Kelly's like, come on, babe. And so those are some really long distances to go. And we've all had those kind of experiences in our life where we've gone long distances. But just like I said, I was dying 3 hours in. At some point in this race, these guys are going to be struggling, and they're going to have to overcome that obstacle. And so I want to talk to you for a moment this morning about maybe some things in your life that you didn't finish. Maybe there's some things that you set out to accomplish that you didn't accomplish. See, back when these guys started training and they started talking about running the marathon, I was training with them. Hey, man, I'm all in. We're going to go run together. We're going to go do this marathon. I've done plenty of 5Ks. I'm in fairly good shape. I knew that I could do it, right? But about 2 months into training, this problem started to set in. I lost my desire. And then I started to think I was dumb. Like, who wants to run 26.2 miles, right? That's a special kind of crazy, right? Thank you. That's from the pastor's dad. I appreciate that, right? So it's a special kind of crazy. Who wants to do that? And so now I'm trying to find out, how am I going to tell the guys I'm bailing? I'm out of here. I'm not running this marathon with you guys. Well, then my arm started acting up, and I had to have surgery on my arm. And really, I couldn't even take the impact of running in my elbow. And so I used my surgery as an excuse to get out of running the marathon, right? But if I'm being completely honest, because I like to finish what I set out to accomplish, there's a part of me that wishes I was running with the guys this morning. And so what about you? What about something in your life that you know you set out to accomplish and then something happened that derailed your plan, right? How did you feel? When you went through that experience, how did you handle it? Was there some disappointment and some dejection? Maybe it was something that happened years and years ago that you still deal with that disappointment this morning if you think about it. Well, the good news is this, church. Your story is not over. You can still accomplish the things that God has birthed in you if you commit yourself to accomplishing them. And we're going to look at those steps this morning. Listen, this marathon is coming again next year. Now, I already told Corbin, I'm not making a public commitment this morning to run with him next year. However, the opportunity will be there. Maybe for some, it is a physical goal, like running a marathon. Maybe for some, it's a financial goal. Maybe you've been undisciplined in your finances your whole life, and you set out to, okay, I'm going to be disciplined again, and then bang, the wheels fall off. I'm going to be disciplined, and then bang, the wheels. And now, we just came off of our financial series of being rich in Him, and you've made some fresh commitments. Stick to them, right? Stick to them. What about setting healthy relationship boundaries? You know you have to limit yourself. You can't put yourself out there 24/7 because you exhaust yourself. Maybe for some it's a professional goal of some type. But maybe for some of you, it's a spiritual goal. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And yes, we're going to correlate it with running all morning long, but we're really talking about spiritual goals and going the distance spiritually. Maybe for some it's daily devotions, using things like YouVersion, prayer time, sharing the gospel with your coworkers and your neighbors. Maybe for some it's as simple as making sure you get to church every Sunday. But what happens along the way? You start out all full of energy and you're ready to go, and before you know it, you find yourself not on pace, right? These guys have trained for months. They know what pace they have to run to get to the finish line, right? And so you set your plan out, you do your training, and then you don't reach the finish line. We're going to look at a few steps that we'll find in Scripture of what happens, what prevents us from going the distance. I asked you to remember one thing early on in this morning's message, and it's going the distance is accomplished through daily what? Through daily decisions, right? Going the distance is accomplished through daily decisions. Well, how many people here this morning know that not every decision you make is going to help you accomplish going the distance, right? Don't we sometimes make decisions that prevent us from getting where we want to go? The first thing that prevents us is really simply, it's we get distracted, right? When you get distracted, you lose focus. You lose sight of where you're trying to go. Listen, these three guys, if you ever spend any time with them, they're clowns, right? I mean, they are jokers of jokers. And it's really easy when you're with them to just get sidetracked real quick because the clowning begins. There's not a whole lot of room for that when you're trying to run 26.2 miles. You got to stay focused. What are some other things in our life that cause us to get distracted? Just chaos around us. Sometimes it's events at work. Sometimes it's events at home. Sometimes it's conflict within ourselves. Distractions will prevent us from going the distance. What are other reasons? We get comfortable, right? You get comfortable. Being comfortable is not going to help you accomplish going the distance. When you got saved, for some of you, the place that you got saved was right here, right? The pastor gave a message, and at the end of the message, he gave an invitation to accept Christ as your personal Savior. He asked you to raise your hand while nobody was looking around, which we know is code for everybody's looking around, right? And so you raise your hand, and little did you know that at the end of that prayer, he was going to ask you to take the walk to the front of the sanctuary, right? And so now you have a moment of decision. Are you going to stay in your chair where it's comfortable, or are you going to get out of your chair where it's a little uncomfortable and walk to the front of a room in front of a whole bunch of people that you don't know to receive Christ as your personal Savior? And even if it did not happen that way for you, surrendering yourself to the will of a God that you are just beginning to know is still a very uncomfortable event, is it not? But in order to walk with Jesus, you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. And so one of the things that prevents us from going the distance is we get too comfortable. We're not willing to sacrifice, right? We are not willing to sacrifice. The bottom line is this. It does not matter what you are trying to accomplish in life. It involves sacrifice. And if you're not willing to sacrifice to accomplish going the distance, then you are not going to go the distance. We rely on ourselves entirely too much. You are not meant to do it alone. There is not a person in here that has gotten to where you are in your life today by doing it by yourself. Past accomplishments. Pastor Corbin joked about this one. He's like, listen, man, when we started training for the marathon, I thought I was going to be good because this is marathon number two for him. Not good. It doesn't matter if you've run 26.2 or not before. You can't run 26.2 without putting in the proper training, proper discipline. We cannot rely on our past accomplishments to achieve future success. And then finally, just immaturity, right? Sometimes we just act like babies. Sometimes we just want to quit, and so we find an excuse to pick up our toys and go home, right? Sometimes immaturity is what keeps us from going the distance. And so what then? What can we look at in Paul's teachings to find out? I told you that we're going to look at some steps that you can put in place in your life to help you succeed in going the distance. And now we're going to go to the scripture. So if you have it, Philippians chapter 3, again, is where we're going to be. I'll read out of the New American Standard Version. This is going the distance is accomplished through daily decisions, right? And so step number one is actually found in verse 2 of Philippians 3, and it says this, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. And I'm going to talk on that circumcision just for a second to give you a little bit of context, right? So Abrahamic covenant, the sign of the covenant between Abraham and God was circumcision. Fast forward hundreds of years, the Jews were still practicing circumcision as the sign of the covenant in their relationship with God, but there were false teachers that had arisen. And this is what Paul is talking about when he says the false circumcision. Now, Jesus Christ has come on the scene, so the covenant relationship between man and God is now through the shed blood of Jesus Christ instead of through the shed blood of circumcision. But there were people that were still teaching that circumcision was absolutely necessary because it was the sign of the covenant. So that's what Paul is talking about in this context. He says, be aware of these people. And so action step number one is stay determined. Stay determined. You have to be determined if you are going to go the distance. You have to be aware of the things that are going on around you that are trying to distract you and trying to dissuade you, trying to deter you from going the distance. You know, one of the things that I love about the age that we live in today is this right here. We have the internet, right? When I was in school, you didn't have this, so we didn't have the resources right at our fingertips that we have now through online teachings and preachings and Bible study helps that you can find online. But with this also comes some peril, does it not? Because just like you can find sound biblical teaching online, you can also find some really off biblical teaching online, some really not so good stuff online. And so you have to make sure that you are determined to know the difference between the two. Staying determined requires being able to envision long-term results while only seeing your current situation. Staying determined requires being able to envision long-term results while only seeing your current situation. Going the distance is accomplished through daily decision of staying determined. Action step number two, don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. The guys will tell you, listen, every once in a while we'd miss a run. Let's say we had a run scheduled on Tuesday, something happened, you missed the run, then another run is scheduled on Thursday. Guess what? Thursday comes around. Maybe we'll skip Thursday's run too because we got comfortable missing Tuesday's run, right? That's what happens because when you're comfortable, then that breeds being more comfortable. And the more comfortable you get, then the more work it requires to get out of that comfort zone. Let's see what Paul says. This is verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. And we put no confidence in the flesh, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law found blameless. So what does all that mean? What does that have to do with being comfortable? This is what Paul is saying. Hey, when it comes to being a person, when it comes to being like upper tier, you know, when you think of like CEOs and high-ranking political figures and the group of people that we call the A-listers, yeah, Paul was an A-lister. He was an A-lister. He was from the right neighborhood. He was from the right lineage. He went to the right school. He taught himself. He was a leader amongst leaders. And instead of being comfortable in all those things, instead of saying, hey, I'm Paul, he didn't do that. He didn't rely on his pedigree. He didn't rely on his education. He didn't rely on any of those things. In fact, he says, don't do those things. Instead, put your confidence in Christ. Church, we can't get comfortable in who we are if we're going to accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish. You can't be comfortable having run a 5K and think that you can go run a full marathon. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zones. Going the distance will always be uncomfortable. A life of following God will take us out of our comfort zone before we can put our feet up on our ottoman. A life of following God will take you out of your comfort zone before you can put your feet up on your ottoman. Going the distance is accomplished through the daily decision of not getting comfortable. 3, we have to be willing to do what is necessary. Right? You have to be willing to do what is necessary. Verse 7 says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Right, so we talked about not willing to sacrifice as one of the reasons. Well, we have to be willing to sacrifice, church. We have to be willing to do what's necessary. Listen to Paul's words again, and this is specifically in verse 8. I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's a pretty impactful statement. Pretty impactful. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. If we back up to the previous point and we talk about all the things that Paul had accomplished as a man, all the places he had come from, the wealthy family, the right education, a teacher amongst teachers, a leader in the persecution of the church. And he says, I had all of that stuff. And it's all rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ. It's all rubbish. And so if you are going to go the distance, you have to be willing to do what's necessary. Runners will tell you there's this imaginary thing called the wall, right? And for different runners, it's at different places. For me, it's like a half a mile, which I don't know why. But that first half mile is always my hardest half mile. Once I get past that half mile point and I get into the three quarter, I'm good. But I have to remind myself, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm running 3 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles. That first half mile, I'm like, I can't go any further. I have to be willing to go past the wall if I'm going to accomplish going the distance. And it's the same way in our relationships with God. Going the distance is accomplished through the daily decision to do what's necessary. Depend on God. You have to depend on God if you're going to go the distance. Verse 9 says, and this is a continuation after verse 8, and it says, and it may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Right? And another part of Paul's teachings, he says, those who share in the crucifixion with Christ share in his resurrection. Church, you cannot follow God without God. You just can't. You can't do the things of Christ without Christ. You just can't. And I say this every time this subject comes up. Peter's my favorite example of this. Because he got ahead of Jesus constantly, and he did it in the name of Jesus, right? But every time we see Jesus reining back in a little bit more and a little bit more. And what an example Peter is. He humbles himself, he repents, and then he corrects himself. And we see it's Peter that Jesus built the church on, right? So that should give us hope today. If here's this guy who was constantly getting ahead of Jesus, constantly trying to do things on his own, yet doing them in the name of Jesus, that's still the guy that Jesus picked to be the first pastor of the first church. That should give you and I some hope, amen? And so we have to be willing to depend on God. There is nothing in your life that you can accomplish for God without God. Paul says that it's through the power of his resurrection. Listen, if the tomb was still full, none of us would be here today, right? If the tomb was still full, none of us would be here today. It is the power of the resurrection that frees us from death, and it is the power of the resurrection that will help us go the distance. Going the distance is accomplished through a daily decision to depend on God. We have to be diligent. Not that I have already obtained, and this is verse 12, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this nugget right here is kind of the focus point of where we're going this morning. Press on. It doesn't matter what I've obtained in the past. I do not consider myself to have obtained anything. Instead, I press on toward the goal. I move forward towards the calling of Christ. I press on. We can't grow weary in well-doing, church. We can't rely on what we've done for Jesus in the past. We have to know what he's calling us to do today and in our future, and we have to press on. These guys, they're probably at about mile 11, maybe mile 12 right now. They still have close to half a marathon to go. Guess what? They're not going to cross that finish line if they are not diligent. They have to be diligent. And really, we hear this all the time. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's just one step in front of the other. One step in front of the other. One step in front of the other. And that's how our walk with Christ has to be. We have to be diligent, pressing on towards the goal, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Going the distance is accomplished through the daily decision to be diligent. And then finally, we have to continue to develop. We have to continue to develop. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. And the word perfect in this passage of Scripture just simply means mature. That's it. It means mature. So for those of you who have grown, just keep that same attitude that got you this far and keep going. Basically, what Paul is saying here is grow and go. And it's a cycle that just repeats itself over and over and over and over. Grow and go, grow and go, grow and go. And so if you think about where you are in your walk with Christ today to where you were when you started, and you look back and you see the things that you have accomplished for His name, by His name, and through His name, if you knew that you were going to do those things at the start of your journey with Christ, you'd probably be a little intimidated. You might even say there's no way that I can accomplish that. And you know what? In that moment, you're correct. However, through committing to submit yourself and surrender yourself in your relationship with God, you grew and you began to mature, which means you were capable of doing more things in Him, because as you grew, your faith grew, right? And so same thing. These guys, listen, nobody can start out running 26.2 miles. Like nobody, right? But you train and your legs grow, and you train and your endurance grows, and you train and your capacity increases. And the more you train, the more you're capable. Listen, they have 100-mile races. Those guys put this special kind of crazy to shame. Like, that's a special, special kind of crazy, right? But they're capable because they continue to grow. The more they do, the more they grow. Church, our relationship with Christ is the same way. The more we walk with Him and the more we do for Him and the more we let Him use us, the more we grow in Him, and then the more capable we become for Him to use us for greater things. Going the distance is accomplished through the daily decision to continue to develop. And so what happens when we do these six action steps? We go the distance. But these decisions need to be made every day, because going the distance is achieved through daily decisions. We know as a believer in Christ that heaven is the prize. Amen? That's what we're all shooting for. That's the end goal, right? And we can celebrate that knowing that Paul tells us, like I said earlier, that we share in His resurrection, right? But guys that run a marathon, usually you get some kind of medal at the end of the race, even for 5Kers, you get some kind of memento to say that you did that. But there's something else that they get as well, something that most runners proudly display that even tells them how far they went. And what is it? We see them all over town, right? What do runners put on the back of their car? Or 13.1, right? You see their sticker saying exactly how far they went, and they get that at the end of the race. But this morning, you're going to get a sticker similar to this one right here. You're going to get your sticker at the start of the race. And I'm going to encourage you to put it on your laptop, put it on your Bible, put it on your fridge, put it on your car, put it someplace that you're going to see it as a daily reminder that going the distance is accomplished through daily decisions.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week. Thank you.